Let's just take a moment to pray. Father, we sing that statement back to you this morning. It is well with my soul. Probably for some of us, sometimes it's a statement of confidence, a statement of assurance. At other times, it comes with a question, God, a pleading, may it be well with my soul. Times maybe with a question, God, I need it to be well with my soul. Wherever we are at this morning, God, our prayer, our desire is that we would be made whole. In spite of the mountain that's in front of us, God, mountains are no issue for you. Whatever the path, whatever the road that you've called us to, Father, through it all, and this we want is our commitment, Father, that our eyes will be on you. God, give us a strength of faith to walk in that way. Because, Lord, you know in our humanness, it's not always easy. And we trip and we fall and our eyes go sideways. But, God, we want to walk in obedience to you. Live in us, draw us to your heart. Father, what a privilege to come into your presence, Lord. To worship, to trust, to say, God, may you do a work in our lives as individuals so that we can say with confidence, it is well with my soul. Lord, we just, again, would praise you for this new little life for Lily. Pray your blessing on Ryan and Kelsey this morning. Lord, just encourage them today. Lord, for those that are hurting this morning, God, may you do a work in our lives. For those who are not here this day because of travel and other involvements, God, just pour out your blessing on each one. May your name be lifted up this morning in our churches across this city, across this province, around our world. May you, God, be honored and glorified because your people who are called by your name are saying, yes, God, you are Lord, you are God, you are on the throne. And we just give you praise, we give you thanks for your presence here with us this morning as well. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless the kids and the teachers as they head out to Kids Time, Kids Corner here. Lord, just encourage them. Be present in their lives as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, kids, staff, head out, enjoy your time. Good morning and good morning and welcome. It's great to have each one of you here, guests and visitors as well. It's good to have you here. Seems like we have a few folks that are gone on holidays today, I think. But it's great to have you here. That's what's important. And I usually don't do this, but I have to this morning. I have a friend here who came all the way from Hong Kong this morning just because I was preaching. Well, that's not quite true. That's a little bit of a lie. But Jeanette Moreau, wave, Jeanette. Good friend for many, many years, along with her sister, Sandra, and a friend from Goshen, Indiana, her former roommate in college, Liz. Welcome to the three of you. But Jeanette was a staff member with me at Niagara Christian for years, and now she's in Hong Kong, and we've had the privilege of many wonderful times together. And again, it's just great to have you here, Jeanette. Blessings to you as you head back to home, that home, in a couple of weeks again. Visioning a new season. This is part two of a two-part message and series that I'm doing here as we wrap up. And we were just talking to Chris this morning and saying, it just feels like this time overall has flown, but especially this last month, it's just like, whew, where did it go? Like July, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, we're heading into the last weeks of July here. New seasons. Very much a part of our lives, aren't they? A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated our grade 8 graduates. September, they enter into a new season. It's high school time. Nathan, Natasha just entered into a new season, parenthood. And that brings with it its joys and its challenges and changes. A wonderful season. I know a number of our folks here have entered new jobs in the last 6 months. And again, those are new seasons as well as you move into or make a career change. Nathan and Julia heading into marriage in the fall. Julia was over there. I waved to her, but she's not there at the moment. Again, a new season of marriage. Very much a part of the fabric of life, those choices that we make as we move through various ages and stages of life. But again, new seasons may also come as a result of a vision, a burning that comes within us, a sense of a dream, a passion that God instills in our heart. A dream for a new direction. Passion to make a difference in the world, to change something up. And God opens a door, He plants a seed, He opens a door, and we just sort of move into a whole new realm and role. And as I reflected on this, I'm thinking, what was it, God, that you spurred in Martin Luther King's heart multiple years ago to challenge the racial discrimination he saw in his world throughout the United States and around the world? Several weeks ago, we heard about Mark Yancey. And what was it, God, that you spurred in his heart to bring a change where reconciliation, not revenge, not just punishment, was a part of that method of working for those in our justice system? Who could have imagined that back in 1972 in Altona, Manitoba, four Mennonite ladies got the idea to start a thrift store. And now under Mennonite Central Committee, there's well over 100 stores across North America generating close to $20 million yearly for relief efforts around our world. A vision planted in the hearts of four ladies who said, let's start a thrift store. And in the first 6 months, they made $1,000. It must blow their minds to think now that there's, you know, almost $20 million a year being raised through their vision. The body of Christ here at the gathering, we are moving into a new season as Pastor Steve comes in a couple of weeks, early August, providing leadership along with Catherine and Rachel and the board and our vision and care teams, providing new direction. And again, I want to remind you as we did last week, and for those who weren't here last week, just going to do a wee bit of recap here at the beginning. Again, that, I think, three key components that God has a plan and a purpose. As He moves the bodies, He moves you as an individual into new seasons. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And we see that from Scripture, that a new season, a new vision, again, so much is God's timing and God's instilling in us. But God also needs you and me. He needs a people who are willing. He needs a people who are willing to be obedient to say, God, it is well with my soul. I want to trust. I want to walk through it all. Whatever it is, I'm ready to move. So whether you are moving into a new season personally, or whether as part of the body of Christ here at the gathering, we're moving into a new season corporately, my prayer again is that some of the things that we talked about last week, which I'll just highlight very briefly, these principles may be valuable to you as an individual as well. A little bit of history. We've looked at the book of Nehemiah here last week. 650, 600 BC, roughly, time frame. Babylon had invaded Judah roughly three times over a couple, 50, 60 years there. And basically destroyed. Destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took many of the Jews as slaves. The Jewish nation was dispersed, scattered, slaves, servanthood. They lost that sense of nationhood. They were without a homeland. But then Babylon comes under Persia control. Persia defeats Babylon and takes charge. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, we are in the court of King Artaxerxes of Persia, where Nehemiah, a Jew, is the cupbearer to the king. And initially you go, wow, cupbearer to the king. That's pretty important. That's pretty neat. Well, no, it was the lowest of low. Because he would taste the wine. He would taste the drink. Anything that was presented to the king, he tasted it first. Because one of the most efficient ways of getting rid of leadership those days was to poison them. And so if you poison the slave, the cupbearer, there's another one waiting. And I want us to keep that in mind, to know how and see how God used this cupbearer, this person who any day could take a sip of wine and be dead, gone in an instant. But God had a plan and a purpose. And it is so key to keep that in mind. Several principles that we started with last week. Again, God has a plan and a purpose. God had a purpose for his chosen people. Yes, they may have been scattered. Yes, they may have been slaves and scattered across continent in a sense. He had a plan and a purpose. He has a plan and a purpose for the gathering church. He's a plan for your life. And the key is, am I listening? Am I aware? And is my heart obedient? Am I willing to say, God, I hear you? I will. I hear you. I hear and I understand and I will choose to move. Principle number two, vision often begins as a concern. For Nehemiah, that was the case. He heard the reports of Jerusalem. The walls are down. The walls are broken. The gates have been burned. The temple's destroyed. There's a lack of, the people aren't following Jehovah. The worship is not happening in the temple. It was disaster. And it grieved him, and he wept. What burden is God placing on your heart? Remember the challenge I raised last week? What is it in your heart that every time you turn around, that God just seems to be, you read about it, you hear it, it's just always there in front of you. What is breaking your heart? Is it a justice issue? Is it child poverty? Is it refugees? Is it single moms? Is it education system? What is it that God just seems to be breaking your heart over and just putting and confronting you with over and over and over? And my question as well would be, are we praying that God will place a vision on Pastor Steve's heart and mind? That he will have clarity of mind and just know that this is what God's calling. Principle number three, birthing a vision can take time. For Nehemiah chapter 1 is 4 months. I mean, it didn't take him that long to write it. But that's the time frame. 4 month process from when we first heard the report from Jerusalem until we move into where we'll go today, where there's a sort of a next step in this process. For Moses, that time frame was 40 years back in the desert after fleeing Egypt, after he'd murdered a slave. As you sense God planting a concern, a vision in your heart, let him lead. Let God take the time that is needed for your sake, for his sake, because God's timing is right. God's going to put the pieces together for the right place, the right space, the right time. And as you wait, be sensitive and prepare and plan and allow God to lead you in that process. Because principle number four, that fourth component is so vital. Prayer and planning is such a key element of that waiting time. It's not just sitting and waiting. During this time, Nehemiah continued to serve the king. He continued to be the cupbearer. He continued to do all that the king required him to do. But he was planning and preparing and listening to God. God was moving in his heart, building a sense of vision and purpose. Because prayer, I believe, for Nehemiah, and I think prayer for us should as well be, prayer is really a process of getting in tune with God. Yes, prayer also moves God's heart. It does many things. But prayer, for one of the key elements, is getting our heart, our mind in tune with him. Crying out to God, pleading for his power to fill us as a church, as a body, pleading, praying, God, move among us. And as that happens, as we plan and we wait for him to then move. Nehemiah chapter 2. And again, we'd invite you to grab one of the scriptures in the chairs in front of you if you'd like to follow along. I don't have it on the screen. Or you may choose just to listen. We're talking page 336, the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 2. page 336. Nehemiah. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was served him, I carried the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad since you are not sick? This can only be sadness of heart." And then I was very much afraid, and we'll come back to that phrase. And I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? When the city, the place of my ancestors' graves, lies waste, its gates have been destroyed by fire." The king said to me, "What do you request?" And so I prayed to the God of heaven. We're going to come back to that phrase as well. It's like, oh God, help me. I said to the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, so that I may rebuild it." The king said to me, the queen also was sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a date. And then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may grant me passage until I arrive in Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, directing him to give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the temple fortress and for the wall of the city and for the house that I will occupy." And God granted me what I asked for. For the gracious hand of my God was upon me. So simple, 9 short verses, and yet a miracle beyond belief. Incredible. Principle number 5. God will use your circumstances, your position as an individual, as a church, to work out his purpose. Circumstances, position. Nehemiah was a slave. He was a servant. He had absolutely, in that setting, in that structure of hierarchy of power, he had absolutely no power. Absolutely none. Circumstances and position, from a human perspective, will say, "God, there is not a chance you would call Nehemiah to be a leader to rebuild Jerusalem. That makes no sense. He's a cupbearer, and tomorrow he may be dead." But the reality is, Nehemiah had absolutely full access to the king. The only one who could give permission to go, to leave and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He had access to the ultimate authority in that land. God was on the move. He was using a slave, in circumstances where there was no personal power to fulfill his plan to rebuild the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. Remember the story of Esther? In fact, Esther is the next book in the Bible, if you want to do some reading in the next couple of days. Esther was also a Jew. In fact, she became queen in this same country of Persia, not to King Artaxerxes, following king. But there was a point there where there was a threat made against the Jewish nation. Could have resulted in the annihilation, literally, of all the Jewish nation. And remember Mordecai's, who was Esther's, in a sense, godfather? He said this to Esther, who then was queen. He said, "Who knows, but that you have come to this position for such a time as this, that God has placed you here for this time, for this point, because I have a purpose to carry out. God, I believe, has placed the gathering church in this community for such a time as this." This past week, Rob Conlon had the privilege of connecting with an individual, sort of haphazardly through the job that he has at the moment. A City of Kitchener worker who has done some service and ministry time and work here at Chandler Moat, but also is in charge of most of the community centers across the City of Kitchener. And as he began talking, it was like, how do you, I know you, how do I know you? That kind of a conversation as it started. He began to so passionately reflect on the impact of the gathering church on this community and in this community. What a joy for Rob, and what a joy as Rob shared that, to hear again of God, I believe, placing us as a gathering church into this community for this time. He has brought us, this church, so that his plan, his purposes can be fulfilled in us and in this community. He has a plan and a purpose. And I would just encourage you, as whether you're on the board, vision and care as leadership, or for Catherine or Rachel, or maybe you say, but I've only been here 2 weeks, or I've been here for months, I've been here for years at the Gathering Church. God has brought us and brought you here to this place for this time for a purpose. And his desire is to work in and through us. God will use your position. He will use your circumstances to bring glory to himself, to work out his purposes if we are willing to obey and walk in obedience. Principle number 6. What God originates, he orchestrates. And then you go, what does that mean? It's God's plan. And if God is planting a vision in your heart, spurring you to do something about a concern or a passion that he's giving you, then focus on the what, not on the how. And I'll be honest, my tendency as a human is to go to, but God, how is that going to work out? And I believe that God says, no. Let God show you the what needs to be done. Let him take care of the how. Let him open the doors. Let him connect us as a church, as an individual, to the right people at the right time in the right circumstances to fulfill his purpose. Mary. Think back to Mary for a moment before being met by the angel, telling her that she's going to bear a child. What was her first question? How can this be? God's saying, don't worry about the how. And the beautiful, the neat thing about the angel's response to Mary, the angel never answered that question. The angel never said, well, Mary, this is how you're going to conceive. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. That's all all the angel said. Enough said. You don't need to know how. That's the way it's going to work. The angel didn't explain to Mary, this is what you better be saying to Joseph when he finds out. This is what you better be saying to your parents when they find out. None of the how. Just this, will you be obedient? Will you follow? This is the what. And I can see Nehemiah saying, God, let's see. If we're going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, we need a little bit of manpower, and we're going to need lumber to build the gates. What do you mean, God, I'm supposed to ask the king for lumber from his own forest for free? And by the way, the distance between Persia there where they were at that point to Judah was about 1,000 miles. And how are we going to get the lumber from the king's forest to Jerusalem? I don't know if those questions went through Nehemiah's mind or not. He doesn't say. I know they would have been through my mind. But it would be like, seriously? I'm supposed to ask the king for free lumber to go rebuild the Jerusalem, to rebuild a city that your previous Babylon destroyed? And you would like this. I mean, why would the king want it rebuilt? The key is, let God take care of the how. Focus on the what and walk in obedience to that. The beautiful thing about verse 8, do you remember that verse? If I can find verse 8. Last part of that, and the king granted me what I asked for the gracious hand of my God was upon me. God was taking care of the how. His grace. Principle number 7, last one. Faith is vital. Faith is key. You remember a part of that first verse when the king says, You know, you're not sick. Why is your face sad? Like, what's going on here? You've never been sad in my presence before. I appreciate Nehemiah's statement. Then I was very much afraid. It's probably one way to say it. He was probably ready to run. He was probably sweating from every pore of his body. Fear, absolute terror. The beautiful thing to me is that as he moves into verse 4, he says, and praying, I prayed to my God. In the midst of the thought, in the midst of the process, he was praying. Fear didn't detract him. Fear didn't say to him, dumb idea, I'm just going to run right now for my life. I'm just going to leave the, I'm leaving. He didn't. Faith was key. It allowed him to stand in front of the king and to say, King, this is what I believe God is calling me to ask of you. Confidently knowing that it was God's plan and this is what needed. And think about it for a moment. I know we just mentioned it, but just think again about what God convicted Nehemiah to ask for. He's a slave, and he's asking for the king to give him time off. Think about that for a second. Absolutely absurd from a human point of view. I want to leave your service, king, but you're a slave. What does the king say? When will you return? Seriously? He asked permission for safety of passage. Again, we're talking some thousand miles back to Jerusalem through Judah. And we'll find as we read into the next chapter that the king not only gives that permission, but he says, and we'll send some of my army, my officers, and some cavalry with you to protect you in this safe passage and give you letters to have you pass through. And, yeah, whatever lumber you need to build the walls, it's yours. We'll cut it down and we'll get it to you. Incredible moving of God. Faith. Nehemiah had a solid faith in an all-powerful God. God had planted the seeds for a dream, a vision. Is he planting dreams in your heart and mind? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God to lead you to say, how do I develop this into fruition? As a body, how do we walk to follow God's leading? Are you praying for Pastor Steve? Are you praying for him that God will not only inspire a dream and a vision, but that God, again, will give him the faith to come and say, gathering church, this is what I believe God is calling us to. Nehemiah, if you read the rest of the story, and we're not going to go there, we're going to just deviate slightly here as we end. Nehemiah leads this entourage to Jerusalem. Again, he's so trusting in God. He takes three days to just say nothing to anybody. Just tours the city. After 3 days, communicates and the building begins. And then 52 days later, less than 2 months, the walls of Jerusalem are built. The gates are intact. The city is restored and the job is complete. He calls us as a church to be ready to move. There was no sitting around and waiting for something to happen. Once God was moving, it was time to move. Will it be easy? I don't know. Probably not. What is it that God's going to call the gathering church to move into? What is the vision? I don't know. But he will lead. He has a plan and a purpose. Will it be challenging? I suspect yes. And I just want, as we wrap up, I just want to highlight what I believe can be 3, 4, and probably we could look at more challenges, but these are some challenges that I believe God helped Nehemiah walk through. First one is a challenge of communication. As Steve, whether in early months or days or along the way, as leadership shares their vision with you as a body, their dreams, their goals, will we listen? Will we have ears that are listening to our leadership? Do we have ears that are going to be listening to God and say, God, you're right, that's it, that's exactly it, that's where we are being called to move? Or will we close our mind and say, don't think so, not my vision, might be yours, I don't think so. Will we allow God to communicate and affirm within our hearts and minds what it is? Will you, if God is inspiring you with a path and a purpose and a direction, is he giving you the wisdom how to communicate that to one or two others, to a family, to your body, to whoever that you need to share that and communicate that with? As I said, for Nehemiah, it was 3 days in to Jerusalem. Didn't say a word to anybody. But in God's time, he shared with the people, and there was 100% buy-in. The people said, yes, let's rebuild. There's a challenge of building team. It was noted this morning in an earlier conversation, but God has brought just an incredible gifting of people into this body with gifts and talents and a range, and I love it. And my prayer for the gathering church as we move into this new season is that God will build team, that he will use each one of us with our giftedness that God has birthed in us to fulfill his vision and his mission. Building team, we need all the gifts, each one of us, and others that I believe God will bring. And leadership, again, I would say to you as leadership, yes, there may be some that say, no thanks, not for me, I don't buy into it. Don't give up, because there will be opposition. Number three, challenge of opposition, mockers and antagonists. And you say, oh, but God, I hate it when I share my dream or my vision with people and people look at you with that stone face and say, seriously, Claire? That's stupid. That's ridiculous. Or when they mock or they criticize, sit on the sidelines, when things begin to move and they sit on the sidelines, especially in church, you say, I just find that so irritating. Will there be mockers and antagonists and opposition? Yes. Nehemiah faced the same thing. Encourage you the next couple of days. Read chapter 4 of Nehemiah to be encouraged. Well, maybe discouraged and encouraged. Sanballat, Tobiah, a host of others. You know, it was just over and over and over. In your face, Jeremiah or Nehemiah, in your face, just this opposition will be there. Challenge of side issues and distractions. One of the biggest challenges that leadership faces at times is not keeping the primary thing the primary thing. And that's life, isn't it, at times? The immediate, sometimes we get off track because things just come at us from all sides and we lose our track. Nehemiah faced that. The building was going. The gates were being restored. And all of a sudden, people were confronting Nehemiah with an issue. There's lack of food. There's not enough for us to feed our children. We don't have enough money to pay the taxes to the king. People and families were selling their sons and their daughters so they would have money to be able to pay their taxes. And there was just a revolting process beginning to happen within the people of Judah. Nehemiah didn't ignore it. He didn't say, sorry, folks, our focus now is building. He didn't ignore it. He confronted the issue with wisdom and prayer and discerning. They walked through it, came to decisions, came to an agreement, and the people said yes, and they were able to move back to the main thing, which was building the walls and restoring the walls of Jerusalem. And as the walls were completed, there are several chapters of the beauty of the celebration, of the worship, of the re-engaging in their relationship with their Heavenly Father, a revival. I don't know if they used those words those days, but there is a revival of their worship in their relationship to God. And folks, as we finish here, I believe for Nehemiah, I believe for you as an individual, for the gathering church, God's ultimate purpose of laying a vision in our hearts, of presenting a vision to us is, yes, to meet a need. But it is also for us as a body, for us as individuals, to be restored in relationship and worship with our Heavenly Father. The need is vital. The change, the impact of that working is vital. But his predominant goal is that we are in relationship with him. Gathering church, are you ready for a new season? As individuals, as a body, God is calling us. He's calling us to seek Him. He's calling us to be ready to move. He's calling us to listen. He's calling us to obey. It's time to move. It's time for a new season. Worship team, come and lead us in a beautiful song of commitment, a commitment to follow, a commitment to walk. We concluded our service last week with the same song, but I think it's just so appropriate that we sing this again as a prayer, as a commitment to our God. As we move into a new season, we walk in obedience.
Feet may fail, they
three phrases again out of there I just want to highlight before the benediction. I am yours and you are mine. God is God. You've never failed and you won't stop now. So Spirit, lead me, lead us, where my trust is without borders. Are you ready to walk that road? Wow. Lead me, Spirit, where my trust is without borders. And as you walk, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and grant you peace. Go in his blessing. God be with you.